The story of the deliverance of God's people, the Hebrew people, in the first few chapters of the book of Exodus may be one of the most well-known stories in the whole Bible. I imagine if you went around, even people that aren't very religious, and asked them about stories they know from the Bible, this would be one of the ones that most people have heard about, seen in a movie, or know some version of. And Moses, as we saw from David's soliloquy, gets a lot of the attention as the reluctant leader that God calls to lead the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt. However, like so often in history and in life, there's some other key people who deserve a little attention. A lot of times, these happen to be women who maybe haven't gotten all the attention they deserve, but are pretty critical to the story. So on this day, when we're also celebrating the service of a woman who's impacted many children's lives today, Miss Mack, I'm just so delighted to be able to help you focus on two women in this story that you may not have thought about that much before. And that's the midwives, Shifra and Puah. One of my very favorite TV shows, and maybe some of you here are fans of it too, is the BBC series Call the Midwife. Any other fans of this series here? Okay, I just love it. It's about a little Anglican group of religious and lay women serving as midwives in the East End of London in the 1950s and 60s and 70s. And in every episode, as these midwives go about giving their service of prenatal care, delivering babies, and then a lot of follow-up care too, they also get involved in a whole range of other issues that confront these women, their families, and even the midwives themselves. They deal with poverty, lack of access to health information and health care, unwanted pregnancies, stillbirths, birth defects, domestic violence, addiction, mental illness, racism, immigration issues, and the devaluing of women and the roles of women. And in every episode, all of these problems aren't perfectly resolved, but there is a theme of unconditional love for the people they serve that runs throughout this series. There are stories about family love, both biological family and chosen family, romantic love, love shared between friends, and most of all, the love shown by caregivers and returned by those that they serve. Love is the motivating value shared by these women of different ages and different life backgrounds and different religious affiliations who find their way into this little band of midwives. Love is also what leads them to battle the system on behalf of those they serve, even if it sometimes means using unconventional and somewhat subversive means. Today's text from the book of Exodus also has a story about two women who served their community as midwives and who also were motivated by love, their love of God and their love of the people they served as midwives. The story begins with an Egyptian ruler who didn't even know the history of the Hebrew people he served. Rather than trying to learn about their culture, he viewed them as a threat, and he was increasingly paranoid and xenophobic. So he came up with a plan to make them forced laborers and do everything possible to make their lives miserable and keep them subservient. He thought that by making life as hard as possible for these people, it would surely slow the population growth, and they wouldn't be so much of a threat to him. And as we know so well from our own history, paranoia and fear of the other leads to actions intended to dehumanize those we're afraid of. Because when we can see others as not fully human, we can justify all kinds of cruel actions towards them. So when the ruler saw that his plan wasn't working, the population growth was still rising, he came up with another, even more cruel plan. He would use genocide by killing off all the male babies. Into this scene of suffering and hopelessness, who did God send to help the people? God called the midwives. And God did this by using the king's own bias against him. For in that day and time, some people viewed midwives as less than, kind of low on the social order, because they were often women who'd not been able to bear their own children. And in that culture, women who couldn't bear children had little value. But we know that throughout the Bible, God often chooses those others view as less than to be the very ones to carry out God's purposes. So this ruler assumes that these midwives will just follow his orders without question. So instead of sending out maybe soldiers to do the job, he summons two Hebrew midwives named Shiphrah and Puah and instructed them to kill off all the male babies that were born to the Hebrew women they assisted. So what do we know about Shiphrah and Puah? To begin with, they are named. And being named in the Bible is a sign that you're important. A lot of people referenced in the Bible aren't named. In this story, in fact, the ruler is never named. But if your name is included, you're significant. The message is clear. Shiphrah and Puah are key figures in the story of God, in the history of God's people. When we were in Egypt this summer with the group from our church who went to the Holy Land, we had the chance to visit an amazing temple named Kam Ombo that's remarkably well preserved. We saw this image of a woman on a birthing chair carved into the wall of the temple. There were many other images also on the walls, but this one was repeated several times. It was one of just many sacred symbols we saw in this temple, and it conveyed the idea that giving birth was seen as a sacred and mystical activity in this culture. Women used birthing chairs like this one to deliver their babies, and the midwives would sit facing them, supporting them, assisting them, and then being ready to catch the baby when it was born. So they would have been in the perfect position to see the gender of the baby and to do what the Pharaoh had told them to do. Although midwives were looked at by some as less than, they were actually important sources of support to the women they served. Because childbirth was such a dangerous activity, and many women and children died during birth, the midwives provided important physical, emotional, and spiritual support for the women. In fact, along with helping deliver the babies, the midwives often prayed, blessed, and did all kinds of rituals during the birthing process to summon spiritual protection for the mothers and for their babies. The midwives in this story are named Shiphrah and Puah, which translated into English means something like beauty and young girl. But despite their innocent sounding names, they respond to this desperate situation with courage, tenacity, and cunning. They defy the king and they refuse to kill the children. But they do it in a way that's far more clever than if they had just stood up to him in person. By refusing to carry out this immoral and cruel act, Shiphrah and Puah made a decision to put the good of the people ahead of their own personal safety. And their act is described by many scholars as the first recorded act of civil disobedience. And in the tradition of those who stand up against immoral leaders and immoral laws, they were subversive and strategic in the way they did this. When the king realized that the baby boys weren't being killed off, he confronted the midwives. And they invented stories and even fed into his biased views of the Hebrew women. "They're different than Egyptian women," they said. "This hard work, this labor doesn't affect them the way it would Egyptian women. They just give birth so quickly we can't even get there to help them." One biblical scholar says the particular wording used here by the midwives implied that Hebrew women weren't even fully human. They were more like animals. So the midwives, in protecting these women, do it by feeding into the king's own racial and gender bias to keep him from realizing what they were doing. And why did the midwives do this? Well, we read in the text, but the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king commanded them, but they let the boys live. And we know, a lot of us, that when the Bible talks about fearing God, it really means having reverence, respect, awe for God, and obedience to the values rooted in one's faith in a loving and good God. So it was their faith and their obedience to God that allowed Shiphrah and Puah to set aside their fear and act with courage for the good of the people. So one could argue that without the midwives, the rest of the story of Exodus may not have even happened. There would have been no Moses, no Aaron, no Exodus. The midwives saved it all. And the Bible says that because of their brave actions, God blessed them by allowing them to bear children and have families. But the deeper meaning here, I believe, is that God is in the business of bringing life into barren places, the hopeless places, the desperate places. When we, like the midwives, respond to that inner voice of God's call, especially when it calls us to be in solidarity with the powerless, the vulnerable, those who've been othered, who are among us, God will be with us, giving us new life in unexpected ways and in unexpected places. Shiphrah and Puah are named in the Bible because they had such a significant role in the history of God's people, but also because they serve as examples of spiritual midwives who were obedient to what their faith told them was good and right and just, even when they had to defy a powerful human leader and put their own lives at risk. And their resistance set the stage for others who would follow in the next chapters of Exodus, like Moses' mother and his sister, who find a very clever way to get him adopted by the king's daughter and ensure his safety. And their example is followed by many others in history who have modeled subversive and strategic faith responses. Jesus risked his personal safety by standing up to immoral leaders. Jesus claimed that all people are loved by God, and welcoming God's kingdom was certainly not popular among the religious leaders of his time. But he refused to back down from preaching this good news, and he called on his followers to carry on this dangerous work. In Matthew, Jesus says to his disciples, "I send you out as sheep among wolves, so be wise as serpents and yet harmless as doves." And I think he could have added, "And summon the spirit of the midwives as you go forth to share the good news of the gospel." And in more recent history, we have Harriet Tubman, often called the Moses of her people. Harriet, as we know, escaped enslavement as a young woman and then devoted herself to developing this network of safe houses known as the Underground Railroad to help other enslaved Americans escape, making many secret nighttime trips back into the very area where she had been enslaved. She guided over 70 other enslaved persons to freedom. And I found out as I read about Harriet Tubman some other things I didn't know. She also served as an armed scout and spy for the Union Army. And then later in her life, became an activist for women's right to vote. Harriet Tubman is just one of those throughout history who embody this midwife spirit modeled by Shifra and Pua. So when was the last time, perhaps, you were asked to do something that went against your values? Or the last time you were pressured to do something that you simply knew wasn't right? Or the last time you saw or heard something around you that made you deeply uncomfortable, but were afraid to stand up and take a stand against what was happening? In these moments, it may be that God is calling us to draw on the midwife spirit of Shifra and Pua. This spirit can help us find the courage to follow God's call to act on the side of justice for those who are without power. It can allow us to be subversive and strategic, to get into good trouble, as John Lewis taught us. So may we find the courage to follow in the steps of these biblical midwives and other spiritual midwives in our midst. May we also recognize and cooperate with God's Spirit at work, bringing forth new life and restoring hope to the dry and barren places of despair in our world today. May it be so. Amen.